Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation, the podcast for BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and as the coronavirus pandemic affects people and colleagues right around the globe, we're going to be devoting this entire podcast to the latest situation. We'll be hearing from Tom Arseneault in the US, and also from Dr. Bob Jefferson, Medical Director at International SOS. Now, the podcast itself has also, of course, been slightly affected. Instead of gathering in our normal studio in London, myself and all of our guests are joining the discussion remotely, which is why you might notice a slight difference in sound quality. Now, on the line is Charles Woodburn, Chief Executive of BAE Systems. Charles, hello. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, Tim. Not too bad, thank you.
Now, Charles, there's a lot to talk about today, obviously, and we want to get to a number of employee questions for you and all of our guests later. So let's get straight to it now. These are unprecedented times, of course. How is this pandemic impacting BAE Systems and indeed its employees across the world?
Well, first and foremost, Tim, this is impacting us all as individuals, our families and our communities. There's been nothing like it in living memory, and we're all facing significant changes to our personal and work lives on a daily basis. They're worrying and uncertain times for our own people and indeed for whole countries. And from a business perspective, my primary focus, as always, is the health and safety of our people. In each of our markets, we've been responding to a fast-moving and evolving environment. We've been in constant contact with the governments in the countries where we operate and indeed our customers to understand what's expected of us as the situation is evolving. I'm pleased to say that we do have robust business continuity plans in place for all of our businesses, and you know they've been stood up and running since the initial stages of this pandemic, and we're coordinating across the group to make sure that we're talking and sharing best practices across all of the businesses. It's also fair to say that we're working very hard in all of our markets, but like everyone, we're having to adapt and we're having to be as agile as we can in this evolving situation as the government and positions and advice changes.
And given what BAE Systems does then, Charles, supporting national security and defence, it's not a simple option, is it, just to send everybody home?
Well, you're right, Tim, and we're very proud of what we do as a company, and this situation really does reinforce just how important our work is. Governments around the world are taking extreme and unprecedented steps to slow the spread of the virus. And some of these measures, quite frankly, would have been hard to imagine, even a month ago. And yet, they're also telling us that they need our continued focus on a number of critical activities and programs and supporting some of their key services. And some of our activities are considered absolutely essential to national defence and security. So that means we're having to work through some really complex challenges.
So what does that mean, Charles, for operations around the world?
Well, Tim, we're working with our customers to identify and maintain the services and programmes that are absolutely critical and to understand which people are essential to keeping those going. And if I look at the UK, for example, on Monday evening, the Prime Minister announced more stringent social restrictions and asked people not to go to work unless it was essential, and assuming that they couldn't do their jobs from home. So in response to that, we asked all our employees to stay at home on Tuesday, apart from a very small number of people who needed to be on site for safety and security reasons. And as we get clarity from the UK government on the programmes and services that they deem absolutely essential for us to maintain, we'll have to ask some essential staff to come back into our sites. But by reducing the number of people on our sites, we're in the process of reconfiguring the working environments and putting physical measures in place to take every step that we can to ensure our people maintain social distancing at work and stay safe while they carry out this critical work. We're looking at different shift patterns, flexible working options as well to help people manage their work and home commitments. These colleagues that we do ask to come back to site really are helping to protect the nation. The government has identified their work as essential. And I'd like to thank them all in advance for the contribution that they'll be making.
Finally, Charles, for the moment, what are you personally finding most challenging about the restrictions?
Well, Tim, not being able to get around our sites and speak to our people in person, I find that really difficult. As many of you know, I really enjoy getting out, meeting our teams, meeting our customers, and I'm really missing that. And like everybody, I'm also missing my family. I have my parents who live up in Aberdeen. Because of their age, they're in the more vulnerable category. And, you know, naturally, I'm worried about them. And I know everybody who's listening to this will be in a similar position. There'll be people around the world that you'll be worrying about. So it's going to be a very challenging situation for us all. But what I do see is a strong sense of everyone pulling together and doing their very best to get through this as a business and as the countries, both here and in the UK and in all of our other markets.
Okay, Charles, for the moment, thank you very much. Coming up next, we'll be getting the view from the US.
Our conversation.
This is Our Conversation. I'm Tim Smith, and I'm pleased to say that joining us on the line now is Tom Arsenault, President and Chief Operating Officer, BAE Systems Inc. in the US. Tom, welcome to the podcast. Where exactly are you joining us from?
Thanks, Tim. Just outside of the DC area here in the US.
Tom, Charles has given us an outline of the response here in the UK. How are you leading the response from the Inc. business in the US?
Well, thanks, Tim. You know, it's at times like this that we are very fortunate to have such top-notch leadership teams across the globe. This kind of situation requires a huge team effort at every level of the organization. So first and foremost, we're working to keep our lines of communications open in every direction, to our employees, to our customers, to our elected representatives. It's so important to keep all of our stakeholders informed in this kind of situation. In the U.S., we have a call every night with the sectors and the functional leaders to share what our teams are doing and dealing with out across the business, what actions are being taken, what problems do we have, how we're approaching the solutions. And as Charles pointed out, we're also doing a lot of work at the highest levels of the Pentagon and in Congress to help chart a path forward.
Tom, you mentioned the Pentagon and Congress there. What guidance is being provided by the US government on the support that they need from you, from BAE Systems?
Sure. You know, I have to say that our government customers, despite the fact that they are experiencing many of the same issues that we are all experiencing during this crisis, they've been very supportive and increasingly responsive to the kind of problems that we're facing. Their guidance derives from the fact that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has designated a number of what they call critical infrastructure sectors. These include, you know, obviously the emergency services sector. It covers first responders, law enforcement, that kind of thing. The energy sector is critical as well, generation, distribution of electric power and natural gas and the like. Very important at a time like this. Well, another of those critical infrastructure sectors is the defense industrial base, of which companies like ours form a part. Chartered with delivering the equipment and services our government needs to support the nation's security. So our customers are asking us to continue to the extent we can, working on our programs, building the products, delivering the services that they need from us.
As we mentioned with Charles earlier, it's not as simple, of course, as just sending everybody home. How are you protecting colleagues' health and well-being as they work to support your customers, Tom?
Tim, that is by far the most important question we ask ourselves every day. You know, as the world started to realize how quickly this virus could spread, we all took steps to limit the amount of travel we do, many hundreds of trips and events canceled, first internationally, now domestically. We also recognize that where possible, having people work from home helped support the need for social distancing. By spreading the workforce out, there are overall fewer people in the workplace and there's a better opportunity for that safer distancing. Now, that said, as Charles mentioned, not everyone can work from home. The kind of work that we do in our factories and our shipyards on our classified programs means that many of our employees continue to come to work each day. And so our sites have been focusing over and over on the ways that we can ensure that we meet or exceed the guidelines of the Centers for Disease Control when it comes to cleaning, distancing, and all the other measures that we can take to make the workplace as safe as possible.
And Tom, how would you say your colleagues in the US business are reacting to this highly unusual and indeed highly difficult situation?
So Tim, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. These are difficult and uncertain times. And as Charles has said, everyone has challenges. Our daily lives are being affected in many ways. Schools are closing. Elderly members of our families are susceptible. All of this translates to a nervous tension across the workforce. You can feel it. You know, that said, I am constantly amazed at the resilience of our people, whether it's a dedication to our mission to protect those who protect us, or it's just a genuine caring for their fellow employees and their fellow citizens. We have some employees who are getting home from work and sewing masks or gowns to supplement the local healthcare providers. You know, others are coming up with ways we might supplement the supply chain for medical equipment providers. And then still others are just chipping in to provide food for the less fortunate in their communities. I mean, it's just it's amazing how people can respond in a situation like this. You know, this darkness will lift, and over time we will recover. And the journey between now and then is what we make it.
Tom, thanks very much indeed for the update. Do stay with us. We'll hear more from Tom later in the podcast. Coming up next, we're talking to Dr. Bob Jefferson.
Our conversation.
Now, on the line is Dr. Bob Jefferson, who's medical director at International SOS. Hi, Dr. Bob.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, first of all, Dr. Bob, tell us exactly what International SOS does.
Yes, International SOS, we're established medical assistance company, and we've been around for a number of years now. And we've been instrumental previously in the SARS epidemic, the MERS-CoV, Ebola more recently, and Zika. And we've mobilised our resources around COVID-19 to help businesses. The health, safety and security of employees is a key element. And how do businesses best protect their employees in this really unusual situation?
Well, this is probably a tough one to answer, Dr. Bob, but do you have any sense of how long the restrictions might remain in place across the various markets, or is it just a case of we have to wait and see?
I think as regards the US and Europe and the Middle East at the moment, this unfortunately is going to continue for a number of weeks yet. It's really interesting, and we're monitoring very closely what's going on in China at the moment, because China are starting to get back to some sort of normality following their major lockdown for the last 3 months. And it's going to be really interesting to see how that pans out and what actually happens in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And we can equate that to what's going to happen around the world. And it's such a dynamic environment that a prediction that I make today is almost certainly going to be wrong next week.
Okay, well, just reiterate then, Dr. Bob, if you would, please, what colleagues should be doing, indeed what we should all be doing, in terms of preventing spreading the virus.
Yeah, we go back to basics, and I must reinforce the single most important thing is hand washing. It sounds trite, it sounds simple, but it is the single most important thing that will stop transmission of this virus. You need to link that with social distancing, and different countries have different models of what they mean by social distancing. It's very important to carry a tissue with you wherever you go. And if you sneeze or you cough, either cough directly into that tissue or into the crook of the elbow. You do not cough or sneeze into your hand. If you do cough or sneeze into your hand, you immediately wash your hands or as quickly as you can. And the other thing, which is really important but so difficult to do, is not to touch your face.
Thanks for the moment then, Dr. Bob. Please stay on the line. Coming up next, lots of questions from our listeners for all of you.
Our conversation.
As you can appreciate, we've had lots of questions into the podcast, and there are some key themes coming through. So I'll be putting those main questions and concerns to you on behalf of those colleagues. First of all, Charles, lots of questions from employees across the UK asking about the increase in working remotely and whether or not your IT network can handle the extra pressure. What do you say?
Well, Tim, it's a very good point. Our IT teams have been working extremely hard to expand the bandwidth to enable as many people as possible to work remotely. In the UK, each business and function has identified the key projects, programs and services that we must keep going so we can give priority access to ensure that those activities can happen. And we're asking everyone to play their part, putting as little strain on the network as possible, using it off-peak for non-essential work, for example. So I think people are adapting to that. And through doing that, we have been able to create additional capacity to support the change. But we continue to need everyone's help to make sure that we maximise the efficiency of the IT environment.
And you've talked, of course, Charles, about the essential workers who'll be needed on site to maintain critical work and services. We've been asked what reassurance you can give them that work is a safe place to be.
Well, Tim, it's a very fair concern and one that we're absolutely focused on, and it would be irresponsible of me or any of our leaders to bring people into work without putting all the measures we can in place to keep them safe. We've dramatically reduced the number of people on our sites, which means we can reconfigure our workspaces for essential workers so that they can maintain social distancing. We're adapting our catering facilities. Some of these are closing, some are offering takeaways only, and we're making sure that people can take their breaks with appropriate distancing. We're also enhancing our cleaning regimes on these sites too and providing additional facilities so people can follow the government's guidance on the hygiene measures that are most effective in preventing the spread of the virus, just as Dr. Bob was just talking about. And we'll keep listening to the latest advice and continue to do all that we can to protect our people who are essential on the worksite.
Now, a lot of people asking about how you're looking after employees' well-being through this time. Many colleagues will be in self-isolation or indeed working remotely for long periods during the outbreak or maintaining social distancing at work. These changes could be very unsettling, very difficult. What advice would you give people on maintaining positive mental health over the coming weeks? Let me ask Dr. Bob that one.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. That's a very, very good question, and it's something that we have been working on over the last few weeks. The key is, particularly working from home, that there is a skill in this, and it was very alien for a number of people who have never worked from home before or have only done it sporadically in the past and now have to work productively over a long period of time. And they need to look after both the physical and mental health. And it comes into three broad categories, really, I would say. One is to build a healthy daily routine. The next is to take care of your own physical and mental well-being, and also to stay connected, you know, with your team and with your peers and also with your management team. And if you can get those three things working, then that really is a positive way to look at this. You set frequent break times and you have your lunch and you make sure you have your breakfast. You don't skip meals. And you really have a dedicated work area, if you can. I know some people aren't able to do this, but if you can have a dedicated work area, that's excellent, because then you switch on when you're in the work area and then you can switch off when you move out. And as regards your physical and mental health, you know, about staying active and exercise if you can, and there's lots of good tips actually on the internet at the moment about how you can exercise at home without huge amount of gym equipment, and also stay positive. We're all in this together. It is an unprecedented time for everyone. Everyone's in and everyone's trying to be supportive.
And any comments you'd like to add to that, Charles?
We're going to keep reminding people they have BAE Systems as a network of support around them, their colleagues, their friends. We're all here to support. And helping people stay connected is so important. Line managers keeping in touch with their teams, you know, people checking in, looking out for each other, colleagues staying in touch. We also have additional support mechanisms like our employee assistance program that anyone can call if they have any concerns or difficulties and want to speak to someone in confidence.
Charles, Tom, Dr. Bob, thanks for answering those questions. As ever, and particularly in these challenging times, if you've got a question for Charles or other senior leaders, do drop us a line, please, to ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's ourconversation@baesystems.com. Charles, challenging times, worrying times, of course. What's your message then to colleagues as we close this podcast?
Well, Tim, as you said, challenging times and potentially getting more challenging before the end is in sight, you know, for this pandemic. But we have to do all we can to stay positive. We will get through this. We will, as a business, get through this. We will get through this. And I'm absolutely confident of that. But it does require us to work very strongly together as a team, to pull as a team and make sure that we're communicating as effective as we can, sharing those good ideas and staying positive.
All right, Charles, thank you very much indeed. On the next edition of Our Conversation, we will, of course, continue to discuss the pandemic, address your concerns and answer your questions. Until then, from me, Tim Smith, Tom Arsenault, Dr. Bob Jefferson and Charles Woodburn, it's goodbye.
Our Conversation, back next month.